Hello, everybody, and welcome back to the Educators Grow podcast. We've taken a little bit of a break. Things have gotten a little crazy over the past few months, but what I was realizing in the last few months since the last episode is just how much I enjoy doing these, how much I enjoy just connecting with other educators, talking about wins that we have, talking about how we're growing, which is what the whole idea of the podcast is. So I told myself I have to get back at it. So we do have several new episodes lined up. And coming back at you with this episode right here. Again, my name is John Wozniak. I'm the host of the Educators Grow podcast. I'm also a proud principal of an elementary school, Covington Elementary School in Oak Lawn, Illinois. And with how we go with tradition here, I'm not going to introduce my guest at all. I'm going to have our guest introduce himself right now. So welcome, guest.
Hey, thanks for having me. That's really slick because then like you don't even have to know my name. You don't have to know anything. So I'm just going to let it rip.
Now, I do know our guest. I will admit, though, one time, and for anybody that has listened to the show, one time I did give some wrong information. I gave the wrong grade level that a teacher taught. So I'm a little bit more just hands off on the introductions now. I guess that's part of the reason. So
with that being said,
Mr. Freed.
Whoa!
There you go.
There he is. All right. Hey, my name is Matt Freed. I'm currently an assistant principal in York, Pennsylvania. I've been here at a middle school for about the last 3 years or so. And before that, had some various kind of teaching assignments in middle and high school, doing all sorts of crazy stuff. And maybe we'll get into some of that kind of on the course of things here. So thank you for having me.
I think we definitely will. So with that being said, I just like to jump into the first question. The first question is consistent with all my guests. This is my favorite question. I kind of bookmark it with my favorite question. So the first question, thinking about your entire career as an educator, what are three words that you use to describe yourself in your first year in education? And then what are three words you use to describe yourself now?
Okay. So I'm tempted to use one set of three words and be like, bam, it's changed. But I'm going to slow my roll. I'm going to stay with the host with the most. So when I started out, I'd say definitely a workhorse. I'd say that I was very flexible, and I'm also going to throw in my curveball word here. I'm going to say that I was fake, because I think you all know where that one's going when we get to my here I am now. You guys know where I'm going with this, right? So I'll just kind of talk on those if you're good. So first, like the workhorse thing, I used to take a lot of pride in that. It was like, yeah, I'm staying late. You know, I'm working overtime. I'm here, you know, 5, 6 o'clock. You know, now I think about that. It's like, man, I'm here because I'm inefficient, you know, like it was a point of pride earlier in my career. And at this point, it's like, man, I must be doing something wrong. I need to be doing, you know, a better job, or, you know, maybe collaborating with more people and spreading the load a little bit more. Maybe I'm taking too much on myself. I don't know. So that one, you know, that's interesting, at least for me. I think it's interesting. flexibility hasn't really changed a lot. I still think I'm pretty flexible that way. But then the fake thing, man. Like when I first started out, I had this idea of what my teaching persona would be, you know, especially, you know, I student taught, I was, I don't know, 20, 21 years old. And I was in a class with like 18-year-old kids. And it was like, oof, I better like grow a beard and I better act like mean and tough and that sort of thing. And that's what I did. And I did that probably, I don't know, probably took me 2 or 3 years to get out of that mode, where I thought I needed to act a certain way to be adultish or to be teacherish. Mm-hmm. And once I started just being myself, it just the whole picture just changed, and the way I was able to interact with kids changed, and it just made it so much easier and so much more fun, and I didn't feel like I had to put on this front. And so that's like a big one. So one of my new words for my new trifecta is going to be authentic. That's definitely something that's very important to me. I'd say that I'm well-rounded, just based on the kind of breadth of experience I've had teaching, you know, English, science, math, social studies, all the different grade levels of kids. I feel like, you know, in my role now as kind of a young administrator, you know, I've seen or even taught some of those lessons firsthand. So even if I'm not necessarily an expert on a certain thing, I've kind of been in that realm or something close to it before. And I feel like it gives me a little bit of a leg up when it comes to trying to empathize, you know, with teachers that might be having a rough time, you know, in a certain unit or dealing with a certain situation with kids. Cause you know, I've taught alternative ed and I've taught, you know, the super honors AP kind of kids and everything in between. And that's helped me a lot. And probably my last of the new words would be confident and, you know, not arrogant, but confident. You know, I am aware of what I know, and I am aware that there's a lot out there that I don't know, but I feel strongly that, you know, I can, you know, marshal the resources and the help and, you know, find the answers to the stuff that I need and figure stuff out. So even if I don't have it now, I feel confident that I could figure out and get it later.
Yeah, I see. With your new words or your now words, I guess I should say authentic, well-rounded, and confident. See a lot of similarities between those three words, kind of how they all go together, you know. Confident in being authentic and being who you are, and then those well-rounded experiences that kind of give you that experience to be confident in who you are. But how you spoke of being that fake word, and when you said fake, I kind of was thinking a different thing, actually, how you said you kind of feel like we went over the go at, what's that, like fake it till you make it, or fake it till you, how does that phrase go? Something along those lines.
I buy into that big time. That fake it till you make it thing is great. You know, I feel like I can, you know, if you fake enthusiasm long enough, you really do drink your own Kool-Aid after a while. Because I think all of us, and I don't care in what role or what capacity you're serving, but like we've all had some sort of initiative or something that we don't really quite get, but you really got to immerse yourself in it. And regardless of that initial feeling, that little pang in your gut when something doesn't quite seem right, if you really get into it and dive in and find a way to make it your own, even though it's somebody else's thing, they're handing you this foreign thing on a platter, you don't really know what the heck it is or what you want to do with it, or even if you want it, you got to just take it and make the most of it, and you put your own signature on that and you make it your own thing, and that to me is fake it till you make it. So sorry, okay. I might have taken you off track even with where you were going with your but this is good. It's a good conversation. I appreciate that.
Well, I don't know, just that word fake with me just doesn't sit well with me. I guess I kind of think like, you know, do your best until you know better and then do better. But I think that we have a lot of similarities with what we're trying to say there. But the way you described it, the way that you were talking about being fake is exact. I remember myself too. I remember I felt I was fake because I felt as a new teacher, I had to be perfect all the time, if that makes sense. Where I had to know all the answers and I had to always be perfect. And I can't believe how much anxiety that gave me teaching sixth grade math. You know, I'd done, you know, college level calculus, but sixth grade math was giving me anxiety because I felt as though I had to be perfect. And I felt that was fake. That's kind of how I took what you were saying a little bit and, you know, how it resonated with me.
No, that's good. That's good. I feel like similar experience, same thing for me with math. It was the first time I had a section of like honors kids after doing alternative ed for a couple of years. And for some reason, I felt like I had to be like on all the time, never make mistakes because they'd catch me right away. And honestly, that's probably when I realized like, you know what, just be yourself, follow your conscience, follow your heart, you know, and that's the stuff that those kids, you know, that they bought into. And it was less about that content perfection and all that hoity stuff and more just about being real with people.
For sure.
Yeah.
All right. Transitioning here.
Let's do it.
So again, thinking about yourself as an early educator, are there any practices that you did early on in your career that you've either stopped or changed over time? And if so, why?
Okay. So I won't go rehash it, but like number one would be that like teaching persona. That was definitely something that I've changed big time. Because, you know, it was not authentic when I started out. I'd say probably the biggest change overall in growing as an educator has been thinking about like the sort of the interdisciplinary nature of like of teaching and then of learning. And part of that came from, you know, when you teach, for instance, like English. Well, okay, I went to school for social studies initially, and then I ended up getting certificates in just about everything, and ended up teaching English before I got like my first real social studies gig. But having that experience right around the time that the, you know, Common Core was coming out, and being back in a social studies classroom having that background now, understanding really what like what the expectations were for, you know, the core standards and and for the skills that are associated with like ELA, and being able to look at what's going on in social studies and realize, you know what, it's not just about teaching a chronology or a timeline. It's about the skills that anybody can use to interact with anything. I don't care if it's social studies, science, whatever. You know, that made me a better educator. And you know, it's more just about, as human beings, how do we interact with stuff in order to become better human beings?
Wow. I don't know. I mean, I was going to think of something to add on to that, but I feel like you summed it up pretty perfectly.
Wow. High praise.
I know. I know that. No, that, I mean, I'm thinking, you know, very similar experience too. And I never taught ELA. I was a math teacher who I taught science for most of my years too. And probably similarly, is just, you know, there's a lot more than just the content. You know, I remember it was about the first month I was a teacher, and I gave a test, and I was so confident. And I remember I was actually on an airplane grading the tests, and the person next to me looked over and said, "Oh, what are you grading?" I'm like, "Math tests." And then I didn't even want her to see them. I'm like, "These are so bad. These are so bad." And then it just made me think of, you know, that there's, it made me think that, you know, how could I have done better, but also made me think that, you know, I was just up there kind of spewing out content over and over. And, you know, there was a lot more that was either happening with my students, or there was a lot more that I wasn't, that there was a lot more that I wasn't really doing, that, you know, I was just kind of assuming that if I'm up there doing my part, that, you know, they'd be able to reciprocate. And there's obviously, as you know, you being in the classroom, as long as you have an education, as long as you have, we know that there's a lot more that goes into teaching than just, you know, saying content and having the students regurgitate it back, you know?
Right. Yeah. And that's a journey. You know, it's tough. It's tough to get to that point. And I, you know, I remember back when Scantrons were still big, you'd hear the, you know, as the thing's running through, and other people in the faculty room would be like, "Oh man, there's a winner." Those kinds of comments, like, "Oh geez," you know, looking back on that now, it's like, what a weird and, you know, horrible mindset that is to just start making judgments about a kid based on the little sound that Scantron made, you know, getting dinged and donged all the way down. And, you know, exactly what you said is, you know, being reflective and wondering, what can I do better? Not that you shouldn't necessarily lose sleep, you know, and think that it's 100% on you, but, you know, yeah, we have a stake in this, and we can't just say that it's, you know, "Oh, I told him the content, I told him to study or watch the screencast," or whatever. Like, there needs to be some authentic interplay, you know, to make
You know, if I had a dollar for every time I've, you know, asked the question either to another person or myself, you know, why, just that simple question, why my students didn't do well in that test, why, you know, my students, aren't doing their homework, why, you know, whatever, my students aren't behaving, why, you know, there's always so much, you know. And like you said, it's not all, I'm not saying that as, you know, I've given out tests where, you know, maybe my expectations weren't high enough, or, you know, some of the students, I was expecting them to work a little bit harder. So I'm not saying it's always, you know, reflecting back on yourself, but, you know, there's usually an answer of that why that'll probably help you solve a lot of those problems.
Yeah.
All right. Well, with that being said, I think we're on fire here. How about question number three? You ready?
Let's do it.
All right. What's something right now in the field of education that you'd like to learn more about? And when there is something you want to learn more about, what's your personal process of going about doing that?
Okay. So there's a lot of stuff that I want to learn about, and, you know, time is limited. Mm-hmm. I'd say that, you know, I have some interest in, you know, restorative practices and restorative discipline. I'd say I have interest in, you know, anything that's like project-based learning and doing more stuff hands-on. I know you guys can't see, but my man's holding up a couple of books that are pretty awesome books.
Let's say right here, restorative practices for positive classroom management. I'll toss some book titles out there for anybody that's hearing those and wants to know a little bit more about it. And actually, I apologize. I'm going to actually share a book that I just started reading, which relates to that. It's not necessarily that. So, restorative practices, you were talking about problem-based learning?
Mm-hmm.
All right, cool. Well,
project-based, but yeah, same vein. No, you're right.
All right. So how do you go about learning that? I know I tossed out some books there. That's kind of like my way of going about it. What's your process?
Well, here, before I say that, there's one other area that I wanted to bring up.
Oh, okay.
Just real quick, because this is probably the big one. I know I mentioned a couple. I'm going to say in general, we talk a lot about like differentiation, but like, because I think that's like the hardest thing, even though it's the concept's been around forever, super, super difficult. I really love the idea of, you know, customized learning and looking at, you know, regardless of age, you know, getting kids the kind of instruction that they need. The concept of a multi-age classroom really intrigues me. So boom, there's that. I'll close that up. And now I'm going to give my second part of the answer was, what was it about the, what's my process?
Yeah, right? Whatever. I know you said three things, but, you know, choosing anything or, you know, not even professional. Yeah. You know, if there's something you want to learn more about, how do you go about learning?
All right. By immersion. Okay. So I like the idea of just getting into it and kind of dreaming things up with either, you know, with other people or on my own and trying to just ask questions and struggle to find answers. And then, you know, that excitement you get when you get kind of close or you're making some headway is unrivaled. And that's been across the board. And, you know, it's interesting that you said, you know, even, you know, outside of education or wherever else, I may have talked about this, you know, outside of this podcast before. Like I've done some wonky things. I was a professional juggler for,
I was, you know, hoping you were going to throw that out somewhere in the podcast.
Yeah. For years, I took that super seriously and did that, you know, did competition and was, you know, performing at resorts and that sort of thing. And, the level of intensity that I put into that, you know, I'm a short little guy. I wasn't that great at basketball or other things like that. That was my sport. That was the thing that I perfected, you know, after high school. I'd eat a really gross meal at, you know, a fast food joint and then go to the racquetball court and just juggle for hours. And over the summer, that was like the full-time job, 8 to 10 hours of doing that.
Whoa.
And you learn in trying to pursue something, just that sense of fulfillment you get when you have those kind of breakthrough moments and you're making progress, you know, that's powerful. And for me, like, yeah, I sort of had those experiences in school, but like doing that hands-on kind of quirky thing, you know, that became a part of my identity. And that became really my touchstone for pretty much everything else that I wanted to get good at since. The same type of practice principles and work ethic that I've put into, you know, that goofy, I'm going to be a juggler. I've done that with everything else. I've done that with my, you know, career aspirations and, you know, whatever, you name it. You know, right now I'm into martial arts. I'm teaching classes and, you know, it's the same idea, you know, just, I don't know. It's just exciting. And I get excited showing that and sharing that with other people. And it's kind of like I said before about the interdisciplinary nature of education and teaching. It's like, regardless of the content, and so it's beyond also just the standards and the core subjects and whatever else. It's, you know, performance art or martial arts or whatever the heck you want to do. If you want to cook, you know, that's what makes this thing so stinking cool. You know, you just get that fire to learn and try something new. So I know that was a long-winded answer, but my one word is immersion.
I love it. Now, speaking of that, actually, so I will share the two books that I showed. So nice. when you mentioned restorative practices, I just finished reading a book called That One Kid, an amazing quick read, but by Brian Mendler, who is just fantastic. If you don't follow him, I would definitely check him out. Brian Mendler, he's on Twitter. He's so active, just incredible ideas when it comes to behavior. A great intro book for restorative practices, Better Than Carrots or Sticks. Just a wonderful quick read also. But I love how you started talking about the moments that really stick out with you. And a book I literally started reading today called The Power of Moments.
Nice.
Which is not directly an educational book, but I've had a lot of educators talk of it. And it's really just, you know, talking about, you know, those moments. And I'm only like 5 pages in, so I can't give a really great synopsis. But it's really just kind of talking about those moments that have that impact on you that you just remember them so vividly and what you did or what happened to you at that time that you remember it so well and, you know, what we can do to make those moments for each other and for us. So that kind of made me think how you were talking about it a little bit later on the conversation, which I just thought it was really interesting that I literally just started reading that one today. So those are suggestions to anybody interested in them as well as you, sir, if any of those titles sound interesting to you?
No, you're very well read. I always admire when you bring book recommendations into the Voxer chat or anywhere else.
Well, yeah, thank you. Yeah. I don't know what I was going with that, but just thanks. All right. All right. So I told you at the beginning of this that I did change up one question. It's a little bit of curveball. So you ready for that one?
Let's do it.
So if there's a little bit of a pause from our guest, this is a question. I usually give the questions at the beginning, but this one's a new one. I have not told him yet. So what's the best piece of professional advice that someone's given you?
The best piece of professional advice that somebody has given me.
Yeah.
My mind goes in a couple different directions because I think of advice that I've gotten in general that I've applied to my profession. And then mm-hmm. I think of advice that I've gotten within the profession that's also kind of helped me along. I appreciate the notion of like emptying your cup. You know, if your cup's full, you can't really take on anything new.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes you need to empty your cup and, you know, allow that space for, you know, new things to kind of pour in. And I think in general, it's easy for you in life or in the profession to carry some baggage, you know, have some kind of assumptions and judgment and whatever, and whether that's about other people that you work with or students that you work with, whether that's about initiatives or things that you have to do, you kind of have to cast that aside and sort of, you need to leave space and leave openness to kind of explore, you know, the aspects of whatever it is that maybe you haven't seen yet, because there's always going to be some other perspectives. So I don't know that that's advice. I mean, it's definitely stuff that I've talked with people before, and it's really helped me out a lot.
I mean, I will accept it if you were wondering. I took it as advice.
All right. Well, thank you.
It made me think of something I was reading the other day, is about the power of saying no. You know, I'm really thinking about our time is valuable. And, you know, we have the best intentions of wanting to do everything, but, you know, there's a power of saying, you know, I'm not going to do that right now. Or, you know, I'm really working on these two things. So I can't devote enough time to have something like that going well.
So hard.
I know. I agree completely. I agree completely. Yeah. All right. Well, good job on the curveball question there.
No, it's a great question. Thank you.
Now, last question, and like I said, I always start and I end with the same question, so this is a consistent question here for everybody that listens. If you can make any change in schools, no matter how crazy may sound, and no monetary restrictions, what would it be?
I would want there to be opportunity for people to have, and people, not just students, everybody in the school community, to have some sort of outlet, some direction that they can go in a direction that they're interested. And here's like the overarching goal. Here it is. This is like the thing on the bumper sticker, is everyone would get a sense of fulfillment from the pursuit of blank, of whatever. Whatever it is you're aiming for, whatever the goal is that you want to set for yourself, or the thing is that you're interested in learning more about or practicing or becoming, you know, good at, I really want people to feel a sense of fulfillment, a sense of pride. And even if they go down one road and they realize, you know what, that was a bad choice, I need to, you know, back up and go down another, you know, so be it. You know, I would love there to be the flexibility in the time that's available in the schedule, and even in our expectations for what needs to be taught, because, you know, it's important, you know, to have a guaranteed and viable curriculum, but the ability to deviate from that and really explore things that will, things that might be intrinsically motivating to folks that may not otherwise have that experience within the current, you know, circumstance in education. I think that would be amazing.
All right. Well, thank you for that answer.
You're welcome.
And with that being said, we've reached the end of our questions for tonight. The last thing I always ask everybody, it's not really a question, but you mentioned Voxer before. But, you know, if people are interested in following you, getting to know you a little bit better, what kind of social media do you have, or how can people follow you or reach you if you want to share?
I would say the best bet is Twitter. I'm at Matt_Fried. That's F-R-I-E-D, as in fried. Matt_Fried. Had a lot of fun with that when I was substitute teaching, and you get to do that in introduction every day. As I'm sure you may have had some experience, you know, funky name people, you know.
There are, yeah, I have a lot of consonants in my name that typically, if you don't know Polish, that are a little bit difficult to pronounce. And even then, actually, technically, if you pronounce my name Polish, you know, speaking Polish, it's very different than how I say it. So yeah. Wozzeck is not how, when I was younger, I lived in a very Polish neighborhood in Chicago. And Wozzeck is not the correct way of saying it, just so you know.
Ouch. Wow. Well,
yeah.
Self-deprecating. Yeah. Just so, and just real quick disclaimer, I'm not super active on there, but feel free to message me and then we can, you know, chat there or Voxer or wherever you want. I'd be happy to talk with people.
Fantastic. Well, again, everybody, thank you very much. Hope you enjoyed our episode. I'm excited for us to be back regular. So we will have episodes regularly. Thank you very much for joining us, and thank you very much for our guest, and hope you guys enjoy and keep tuning in. Bye, everybody.